You're listening to the Star Wars Report, Episode 5. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Star Wars Report. I'm Riley.
And I'm Bethany.
And I am Mark.
Mr. Mark Herleman. And we're all very, very happy to be here, guys. I'm very excited for this episode. Now, we've been dealing with a lot of technical difficulties.
You guys are getting so sick of hearing the two words, yes. Technical difficulties.
It's like the economy. Technical difficulties is what it's like for us.
Politics, yes.
So, yeah, we...
To be fair, though, when you're cloning as many Bothans as we are on the Star Wars Report, it does get a little bit technical at times, and cloning is not a perfect art.
This is true.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Indeed, we have lost multiple episodes since our incarnation.
Four, but who's counting?
Who's counting? So what we're doing is we have a brand new sponsorship. More on that halfway through the show. Who's going to help us? Perhaps maybe have a little bit better equipment so that we don't actually keep losing episodes and I can bring just better and better and better quality content to you guys, all of you Star Wars fans out there. So we're really looking forward to that. But we'll tease that. We'll come to that back later. Let's begin with the news. We've got the Clone Wars Season 3 box set details out. The Clone Wars Complete Season 3 will be released on Blu-ray and DVD on October 18th, 2011. It contains all the special features. Yeah, it contains all the special features and extras that Clone Wars fans have come to expect, including more than 30 deleted and extended scenes. In addition to the 22-episode box set, contains a collection of featurettes and the Blu-ray exclusive Jedi Archives, blah, blah, blah. We've all seen this before. It was in the Season 1 and Season 2 box set. But as for sale, the Blu-ray version, $59.99, DVD, $44.98. Again, same as previously priced. This is pretty typical for a television box set.
But it looks but of course, so expensive.
Well, retail is like Amazon. You'll probably be able to find it a little bit less before.
And remember, listeners, you will not be finding this on Netflix.
That's true. That's true. Is the Clone Wars on Netflix streaming yet? I don't think they are.
Not yet. No, it's not. I've been watching and waiting and desperately hoping.
Yeah.
Even though I have them on DVD, it's just still nice to have them on Netflix, too.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll definitely be picking this up probably on release day. And I believe, let's see, October 18th. The Saga Blu-ray is released in September, as I understand, so there's a couple weeks between the two.
Alrighty, well, we're going to the next news topic here. The Star Wars community attempts to save baby Leia. Now, we've all probably heard of this little Leia, as she's fondly known, our little Star Wars Princess Leia, spelled L-E-A-H, which is different from the real Princess Leia. Anyway, she is a baby who has been in the hospital many months now with an undiagnosed disorder. They're not exactly certain what's happened with her, but she had multiple seizures and she had these erratic eye movements and just many different problems. So she had so many tests run on her, just countless. Well,
yeah,
they are counting them, but I lost count after like six different EGs and an MRI and CAT scans and just so many different things. I'm not certain all of what she's had at this point, but we will be coming back to this story in the future to follow the hopeful progress of baby Leia. At this point, she has been returned to her parents' home, her parents who are in the Mandalorian Mercs.
Yeah, this
so
is
she
the
has
Delta
been returned.
Squad boss. Delta Squad boss is her father's name.
Yeah.
In fact, they had to get a larger apartment even. Because of all the equipment, medical equipment and stuff like that they needed for little Leia. The sad thing is they weren't, I don't believe, in the apartment 5 minutes or 5 hours, and one of the nurses caught it on fire. That was,
seriously?
I mean, these people have just been having heartache after heartache stacked against
them.
It's been great to watch the fan community come together for them, but it's just tough to watch anybody get kicked when they're down. And prayers out there, you know, hopefully God, the Maker, the Force, whatever needs to happen for these family to give them, you know, more smiles needs to come their way.
Yes, definitely sending positive vibes through the Force towards baby Leia and her family. Wow. And what's been so great is the Mandalorian Mercs, the 501st, all of the great fan support. Steven Stanton has been raising money and awareness, as well as Peter Mayhew donating to the cause. There's been multiple charity auctions. There's a Facebook page that you can find. You can search for May the Force Be with Princess Leia. And, of course, you want the place you want to actually look for the constant updates for the most in-depth stuff is princessleiadiaries.blogspot.com. That's Leia spelled, again, L-E-A-H. And that's where you're going to find the main blog.
One of the amazing things about this story is that the Star Wars fan community has raised approximately $30,000 for this little baby. And that is a ton of money, but it's still not enough for nearly six months in the hospital and all of the massive amounts of medical equipment that they've had to take home with them, the nurses, the team of 40 plus doctors who looked at her. Steve Sansweet has mentioned it.
In this community, medical bills just rise and rise and rise. I mean, when you think about an aspirin, you go to the ER and an aspirin costs you almost $200. I could not imagine what these tests are costing this family.
Yeah, yeah. We actually talked to Steven Stanton on the Sarlacc Pit not too long ago, and something that might be posted here in our feed as well. And he talked about it might get to the millions in terms of the sheer cost of what it is. And of course, we're the Star Wars community. We're going to do whatever it takes to continue supporting Baby Leia. And I would encourage our listeners, you can find a little PayPal donate button, whatever you have. That really seems to be the best way to help out. And of course, that's on their Blogspot page. Right now, they've raised $23,000 through the Baby Leia Fund right there.
That's
not counting the private auctions. That's just through the PayPal alone. Head over to princessleiadiaries.blogspot.com and find out more about this. This is awesome. I always love to see the community coming together, and it just happens time and time again. So I have a feeling we'll keep coming across stories like this.
Yeah, correction to my last sentence. I meant to say 501st donating, not loaning.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I just wanted to mention that those who listened to our last episode can have a feeling and appreciation for what the 501st does in creating items. Well, when I was watching some of the auction items, I mean, wow. When you talk about people build these things and then turn around and give them away for free, in a sense, you know, to this wonderful charity, but the details on all the things you were seeing, from helmets to cod pieces to chest plates to, you know, blasters to lightsabers, it just boggles your mind, the details and the heart the 501st has.
Yeah, and here's something that the father, Zev, has said. Who would have thought that the global community of Star Wars nerds, and I'm included in that, would have come to our aid in such a way? Star Wars celebrities like Peter Mayhew, Steve Sansweet, Steven Stanton, and many more donated funds or other collectibles. I've never seen such a domino effect of kindness and compassion happen this quickly. Anyway, it's an amazing story, and please help
prayers.
This little Leia if you can. Please help her out. Spread the word, donate what you can. There are thousands and thousands of Star Wars fans. If each of you can donate $1, it'll make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
And moving on, another charity story. This one fascinated me, I must admit. Stormtrooper trekking across Australia for charity.
Crikey!
Put another Jawa on the Barbie!
Anyway, 501st Jacob French is walking across Australia by himself in Stormtrooper armor to raise $50,000 for the Starlight Children's Foundation. We'll put a link to a more in-depth article, but there's
I just saw the picture.
Uh-huh. Anyway, he's trooping in his Stormtrooper armor, and he's got this little trolley bug-looking thing in front of him that's hilarious to tote his equipment on. Food, water, sleeping bag, tent, all that sort of stuff. At least he won't get sunburned.
You have to wonder if the armor itself's what's deterring people from coming at him. Because, you know, they always say, go with the buddy system, never go out and travel alone. I mean, kudos for that.
That's true. That's some pretty awesome pictures from the local article that they're doing on him. That's a long way to walk in Stormtrooper armor. And they say Orlando's bad. Those people whining about Orlando got nothing on the Outback.
Yep.
Another story we have actually comes from Joe Johnston, the director of Captain America, the First Avenger. And he was caught saying, in reference to George Lucas, I'm trying to get George to make a feature based on Boba Fett. What? Boba Fett?
Boba Fett? Where?
Wow. Well, I don't know. What do you guys think about this? I've got opinions for days, but.
Yeah, you're a little bit hesitant there. Well, yeah, it's all speculation at this point. When he says trying to get George Lucas, I don't even know if he's contacted him, but I could see that that would be a possibility. If they were going to, for instance, say, not have enough money to do a complete live-action series, they could possibly...
No, don't say it! Don't say that!
Yeah. They could possibly change it into a film, a live-action film, in which case would be Boba Fett-centric. Although I can't help but wonder if George Lucas's Boba Fett vision would be different than what we're kind of used to in the expanded universe.
I don't know. See, I thought that the expanded universe really took off of what you kind of feel like he's like in the films. He may not have made tons of kills in the films or, you know, wiped out whole legions, done tons of bounties, but this aura he exuded in the film just had everybody wanting to know more about him. So I feel like the expanded universe actually stayed true to the implied vision of Boba Fett, shall we say.
Implied, yeah.
So I think...
But which Fett? I mean, that's the thing. Fett is the most controversial of EU characters. There have been so many incarnations of him that have been retconned and crammed into what we know as Boba Fett.
Yeah, that's true. And the current vision of Boba Fett with Daniel Logan and the Clone Wars Boba Fett, which, of course, we just learned from the Comic-Con that Boba Fett will be appearing in Season 4 of the Clone Wars, by the way. So he is continuing in the George Lucas canon, so to speak, or at least in the Clone Wars canon. There does seem to be that fan interest. Boba Fett was really a selling point for Season 2.
He's a selling point in Star Wars general. I mean, he's one of those characters that became a cult classic. I mean, Supernatural actor Jared Padalecki, he even is a fan of Boba Fett and the EU of all things. But, you know, I'm one of the fans that are on the fence for this. I mean, one hand, it's Star Wars, George Lucas, it's going to have money, it's going to be awesome. But the other side of things, the little more EU fanatical side of myself is like, I don't know if I want George putting too much of Boba's past in concrete. Because he's the only one who can. Anyone else can touch Boba Fett all day long, doesn't matter. As long as it's not George, nothing is concrete. That's just the way the EU works. Mm-hmm. But that's part of why Boba Fett's changed so much, because they did run with what they had originally, which wasn't much. There was not many details about Fett in the original trilogy, and they took that, went with it. Marvel's version of Boba Fett is quite different than Dark Horse Comics' version and Del Rey's version. I mean, they're all slightly different. The retcons have worked to make the character work, but in a lot of ways, there is that fear that if George gets a hold of him and runs with him in a certain direction, there could be detrimental differences to the character. I mean, so there's that side of me that is kind of like, I don't know if I want George telling that story. There's so many other stories George could rock.
Well, tell me something, Mark. What would you like to see in a Boba Fett movie?
Ooh. If you could have your pick, Daniel Logan or now, someone else?
Oh, if I had my choice of actor, is that what we're saying, or plot?
Well, let's go both. Let's go. Let's do this.
Okay.
We're jumping into speculation.
It would have to be Daniel, because at this point, I mean, he just oozes Boba Fett, and I say that in kind of like a Lando Calrissian oozes class kind of way. And so when I think of the movie, I'm of the opinion I want to see the Mandalorian dungeon ships. I want to see Boba Fett having a hand in helping Vader kind of catch Jedi, do that kind of stuff. Kind of see him rising as the bounty hunter that becomes top dog that we all know of. I mean, I think that's the main thing about Boba Fett, was that he showed up on screen and we were told he was the galaxy's best bounty hunter. Didn't matter that he got knocked in the back and got launched into a Sarlacc pit, and then the EU saved him by bringing him back to life. But, I mean, you know, it just didn't matter that he went out like a chump. Everybody still loved him so much that even the EU brought him back to life. He was just that iconic right out the gate. Why? Just because of cool armor, apparently. I mean, everybody's a fan of armor, I guess. I don't know. Because he didn't do much.
Yeah. He had the clinking spurs and Empire Strikes Back. He had the cool jetpack and stuff. But, yeah, he just looked cool. Yeah.
Well, he captured the imagination is what he did, essentially. Riley, what would you like to see in a Boba Fett movie?
I would like to see a Cowboys and Aliens style retro take on it. One thing that Star Wars does often is take kind of alien cultures that are very reminiscent of real life cultures. So in the same way that the end of Season 2 was of the Clone Wars kind of had a Old West style feel to it, I would love to see something like that done live action with Boba Fett. So I could very much see something along the lines of a Magnificent Seven style plot, where bounty hunters are featured, So yeah, that's kind of what I would like to see. Now, of course, in Clone Wars Season 4, they've confirmed Dengar is coming in. They've got, I mean, there's bounty hunters. I mean, this is all coming off, like, fresh off the presses. It's just what I'm remembering off of memory. This isn't in our show notes, because they've been, today we're recording this on, Friday, in which is, San Diego Comic Con. So, all this news has been breaking all day.
I know, Twitter has exploded.
Can't keep up with it all.
I know. I came home to, like, 700 plus tweets. And I went, just this little squeak escaped me. At the thought of trying to sift through all of that. Anyway,
the downfall of Twitter right there.
Yeah.
Big event. Oh my gosh, I can't even go near it. There's just too much information.
Yeah. And speculation and personal opinion and excitement. Yeah.
What about you, Beth? I mean, what are you thinking of? You're freshly new to this, so you're going to have, like, probably the closest to what George Lucas is going to put out there in ideas of Fett. I mean, because nobody knows what's going on in his mind.
How true, how true. Well, I would like to see Boba Fett as I remember him in the movies and as I remember him in Legacy of the Force. I would like to see him as the iconic bounty hunter. I remember the one scene in I believe it was a Legacy of the Force novel where Boba Fett walks into a cantina and the cantina has a blatant no helmets allowed sign. Boba Fett takes a look at the sign. And everyone in the cantina grows still. And then they all see it as he's Boba Fett, the bounty hunter, and he's walked into the cantina. Boba Fett reaches for his pistol because it looks like the cantina owner is about to come and tell him to take off his helmet. And the cantina owner promptly stops and very nervously offers him a drink while everyone else flees for their lives because they know that Boba Fett is angry.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm looking at. You heard some background noise there. I'm looking up the robot chicken Boba Fett stuff.
But yeah, I guess basically something that would live up to this aura that he had in the films. I'm not sure what sort of plot I'd like to see. Definitely well done. I'm not sure exactly what I would call well done, but something that lived up to this iconic image that we all have of him when he walks through Jabba's palace in episode 6. He just, this icy stillness follows him.
So I guess one last question on this real quick before we move on. Would you guys like to see a plot that's more action adventure, kind of showing Boba Fett just like walking in, one man army walks out, everything's blown up, but he's, you know, unscathed? Or would you rather have something that's more, I don't know, mysterious, kind of like wheels, turning within turning kind of plots where we get to see how smart Boba is?
Frankly, I think you could do both pretty easily, and that's what I mean by well done. It shouldn't just be he goes through and blows everyone up, but on the other hand, he's not just a spy either. He has a massive reputation in the expanded universe. Everyone knows who Boba Fett is in the expanded universe, for instance, and I would like to see that reputation be in the movie, which means that he's not just a spy, he's not just sneaky and smart, but he's also a great hunter, and that's what he's known for. No one can escape him because he's that experienced and just that good at what he does. I wouldn't mind seeing another side to him as well, not just a cold, smart killer, but the other side of Boba Fett that's shown a little in the expanded universe, where there are more facets to his character. He's not a simple individual.
Yeah, Karen Travis took a really interesting turn with him.
Ah, yes, you see where I'm going with this. Yeah. Yeah, so I'd like, not something that's just your typical, you have several different kinds of spies. The spy who's really smart and technologically cool. The spy who just goes in and kills everybody because he can kill everybody with hardly even looking at them. The spy who's kind of more of a swaggering and handsome and wins everyone over and yet is also incredibly smart kind. So I would rather see a more complex individual because, frankly, that's what I see when I look at him.
Nice. Well, I will say real quick, it's a very minor spoiler warning. In Fate of the Jedi Conviction, Alston uses Fett very well, kind of does exactly what we're asking for, hoping for here.
Mark.
Just really cool scene, so you want to check that out.
Wait. Don't spoil it. I haven't gotten through that yet. Please don't spoil it.
Oh, that's
it.
All I was. That was all I was doing. You okay. want to check it okay. out? That's that is the spoiler. Go read it. Go read it.
Okay. Okay. It has Boba Fett in it. Oh my goodness. And you listeners, we're not that into Boba Fett. You know, just
no,
we've only
nah.
spent past what 10 minutes talking about.
No. Yeah.
That's the reason why Boba Fett is so fascinating, though, that the fact that we're all willing to sit here and speculate it. On it, and he's so fascinating as a character. That is the essence I would like to see Lucas capture. But the thing is, I believe Lucas did capture that in the movies, so I'm not really worried about it that much.
Yeah, although there are a lot of lot of various jokes about him falling into the Sarlacc pit, blah blah blah, and being going out like a punk. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. Speaking of neither here nor there. The Old Republic is up for pre-order, ladies and gentlemen. But if you go to the page, swtor.com/pre-order, it says pre-order now with a huge white asterisk next to it. So I'm like, okay, what's the catch? There's still no release date. Still, you can pre-order Star Wars The Old Republic Collector's Edition, which of course has exclusive General Giant Darth Malgus statue. Game discs in a collectible metal case, the Journal of Master Gnos Drill as annotated by Satil Shan, the Old Republic Galaxy Map, Custom Security Authentication Key. I had to think about that for a second. Music of Star Wars The Old Republic CD. Oh, that's nice.
I want it. I want the music.
High quality collector's edition box, and blah blah blah. 7 additional items. They give you flare gun, training droid, holo dancer. I'm in. No. Holodancer, Holocan,
shut up.
Stap, exclusive Mouse Droid, collector's edition store. All right, so that's the ultimate edition. That's, let's see, how much are they asking for that one? Oh, and 30 days of game time is included in this edition. No price point I can find, though. I thought they had price points. Let me see what happens when I hit pre-order now.
Okay, you know, I can't wait for someone to put the cinematics onto YouTube. Because I don't have the time or the money to pay for and play an MMO right now.
Yeah.
But I love the
cinematics
so much.
If you go to the GameStop, the main GameStop
page. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, so you can't actually pre-order it through the website. You have to go through a retailer where they give you a bunch of choices. Oh, at GameStop.com, they show where you can pre-order the regular edition for $59.99. That's just the game. And let's see what else they have. The Ultimate Edition. Pull it up. All right, yeah, the Ultimate Edition that I read you, $149. $49.
Do you know, or can you guess how much the monthly fee will be after the first free month?
$50.
Really?
No way.
$40, $50, $20 at the minimum.
No way. They can't get away with
that.
Nobody would pay that. I mean,
are you kidding? Look at this. We got a collector's edition. I mean, everything lately is being aimed at the rich or the kids of the rich. I mean, you're not going to be able to find those tins or anything else anywhere else. Only the rich are getting to enjoy these awesome benefits.
Well, I mean they
come
do
on,
have.
We're creating an elitist society. It's just wrong. All
right, Mark's getting off on his rant there. But they do have the $59.99 version, which is just the game if you want to buy that. Which isn't the nice.
Who
wants
the
bonus stuff?
Who wants to buy just the game?
$59.
Yeah.
Who wants to buy just the game?
Who wants to buy the game? That's my question. I mean, in the first place, just to take it down a notch. Send us an email. What is it that makes this game so anticipated? Because
you mean besides the awesome cinematics?
The trailers and cinematics are awesome, but the gameplay doesn't look any more unique than a bunch of free MMOs that I've seen. And just to kind of get a little bit down and controversial here.
Ooh, I can see the hackles rising on some gamers.
I gotta
step into this one. I mean, right out the gate, though, we're looking at a KOTOR working environment. I mean, KOTOR rocks! Everybody's waiting for KOTOR 3.
Well,
this
KOTOR
is the
rocks.
Best kidding.
KOTOR costs $20 new. That's also my point being there. And I mean, we have free MMOs like Lord of the Rings Online that are equally awesome in terms of gameplay. I guess I'm not a gamer, so I'm not the best person to ask. So, but what is it that makes this game worth that premium and worth the monthly fee more so than something like Lord of the Rings Online,
I'm sensing some emails here.
Send them in, StarWarsReport@gmail.com.
And see, I'm going to be on the receiving end of these emails while you're going to be out of town.
I'm going out of town for 2 weeks, and I'll be gone. So,
Mark, I heard that.
We've got a... So, yeah, pre-order it if that's your thing. Whatever.
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 Maybe play games. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Stand it for the cinematic trailer. Just wait. It'll be on YouTube.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, also, you're talking about the rich, Mark, but also... This game is ordered by people who really like to game.
Well,
I think.
Riley and I love
traveling.
Yeah.
So we're going to save our money to travel, and that includes going to conventions.
That's what we do, yeah. We don't,
I would rather go to a convention than pay for half a year of the game.
Well, some people read comics, some people read books, some people are bicyclists. That's what they do.
Bicyclists?
But some people play hours of a video game, and I do not.
Bicyclists?
Bicyclists? I don't know what I'm talking
about.
You know what I'm talking about, but some people do that, and then when it comes to
gaming... Hey, I starve for Star Wars, man. I cut meals in the day if that's what it takes to get me the Star Wars Jedi, the Dark Side, number 3.
There you go. So, I guess send us an email in if you want to kind of take the defense of the Old Republic. I've gotten to the point where I'm not, in case you can't tell, I'm not super excited about it, but I do think it's a really cool timeline. I like the story. I like Darth Malgus. He's one of my favorite Sith Lords, but... It's just gotten to the point where really we don't even have a release date. And even if I was considering the game before, I'm doing so less and less now. StarWarsReport@gmail.com. .com.
Well,
yeah. Send us your thoughts.
Bye-bye. Well, I care.
Well, I care. All right. Well,
I care. You send those hater emails to Riley there.
Well, guys. All right, before we get into our emails, I'd like to talk about something that we're all very excited about. Actually, that would be an understatement. And because the last episode...
Ecstatic.
Yeah.
Happy.
And because the last episode was lost, you guys didn't hear it. So the news may be a little bit late in getting to you, but that's why it should be all the more awesome. We have a sponsor!
Yay!
We are sponsored by none other than ToyHut.com. ToyHut with 2 T's. ToyHut is your source for everything as far as Hasbro and Star Wars action figures go. It is a great, great resource. But not just for that. You can buy your action figures on eBay or at Walmart, wherever you're going to buy them. What you can do by going to ToyHut is support the Star Wars Report. Because those poor guys, we lost like 4 episodes. No, when we were looking for the sponsorship, we really wanted to have something that we could upgrade the equipment so that you guys would get an even better show, and so that's what Toy Hut is helping us with. We're not trying to make a profit here. We're not trying to make a bunch of bucks or anything like that. We're just trying to bring a better show to you guys, and Toy Hut's working with us to make that possible. So,
well, and quite honestly, it's very frustrating as podcasters to lose 4 different recordings.
Yes.
That's approximately 6 hours of work for us,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We down the drain.
We do put a lot of effort into the show, and so it's nice to have some financial support from the folks over at Toy Hut. So what you guys can do is, just as a way of saying thank you to the Star Wars Report, is head over to Toy Hut and check out with a Star Wars action figure. Even if you don't collect, just check out your one token of support to us, because we would really, really like this to be a successful sponsorship. I mean, honestly, the guys over at Toy Hut, they are taking a little bit of a chance on us. We're a newer show. We're not as big as some of the other shows, but they put a lot of faith in us. So if we'd love for you guys to deliver and support us. So go over to ToyHut.com. That's ToyHut with 2 T's.
That, and they're really an awesome place. I've looked closely at their website and their prices and everything.
Yes,
and they sell some really awesome action figures and all. They have competitive prices, but competitive prices that come with professional packing. The guy who runs the site packs these toys himself very carefully. He noticed when he began collecting years ago that he would get toys sometimes that were ruined in the mail because they were packed in this flimsy stuff that would break everything if anything hit it at all, which we've experienced.
Cheapest solution.
Yeah.
So he would try to go with the cheapest toy when he was buying toys, and then he noticed that didn't work because the toy would come destroyed. But anyway, he professionally packs everything. He has a large selection of toys and action figures and pieces of equipment. Anyway, if you like Star Wars, you're going to love this site.
Excellent. Yes, if you like Star Wars action figures, they've got a great selection of both modern and vintage material. I won't go on anymore. We'll get on with the show, but I just wanted to let you guys know.
Don't forget your EU! The EU is there, too!
Yes, not to forget, not to forget. So, yeah, head over on to toyhut.com. And, hey, when you check out, if you see a place, just let them know that you heard about them on the Star Wars Report. Thank us, and get some action figures in the process. There's no better deal to work with. All right, let's go on to our emails. Yeah, well, I guess that's going to do it for the news portion of this episode. But we do have some feedback. Now, this was also read on a lost episode, so it's we apologize for getting to you guys a little bit late. But this email comes from Jesse, the Jesse that doesn't want Padme in the Clone Wars.
Jesse,
I heartily agree with you, actually. I kind of heartily agree with you. We'll come to that later.
Sexist.
I'm just kidding. This is the Riley Grouchy night all of a sudden.
I don't think it's sexist. I mean, I think we're just saying we don't want to see what happens to Anakin. I mean, nobody wants to see Anakin turn into a chump every episode. Oh, look, there's Padme. Oh, Anakin's a chump again. I mean, the Jedi are figuring this out. Something's wrong with
that. Wow. And with that, Jesse, you have kicked us off into conversation. I haven't even began the first line of your email. It says, congrats on the name change and wish you the best of luck in the future. Well, thank you. The reason I'm sending an email is because I wanted to give my review of the Hollywood Bowl Star Wars in concert and talk about the Blu-ray. First, the Star Wars in concert was great. My sister bought us tickets from a friend who could not go. So my sister and I had a great time. She was so surprised on how much I love Star Wars. So we arrived at 5:30 p.m. and it was crowded. We walked to our seats and talked to some newbie who had never seen the concert. That would be me too, Jesse. I have never managed to see this concert. Oh well. He continues, I gave him a brief description about the show, and some senior citizens I were speaking were very surprised to know that there was a choir also.
Okay.
Yes, the choir is awesome.
I'm going to take the rest of this.
All right,
email.
Take it. Go for it.
7:30. It's showtime. As the orchestra started to play, you feel the warmth of the emotions surrounding you, the goosebumps rising on your arms. It was amazing, except that they did not have any flames come out for the Imperial March.
Boo.
If there had been flames coming out of the Imperial March, I would be even more jealous than I am right now, Jesse.
I know, Jesse, he's setting this up well. I got goosebumps just hearing his description.
Anthony Daniels was great as always, very energetic and full of life, which I may say, that sounds like Anthony Daniels a lot. He was that way at Celebration 5 as well. So intermission came by, and the venue was completely packed when the lights were turned back on. Now for the conclusion of the concert, Anthony and the conductor of the Sympathy.
It's a sad orchestra.
Oh my goodness. Anthony.
Sad and there wasn't any flames.
Yeah. Anthony and the conductor of the symphony stood on stage together, and Anthony proceeded to say, "We have a very special guest for you tonight." I thought it was George Lucas, but it was Mr. John Williams himself.
John Williams is the man.
John Williams.
Thank you, Mark.
John Williams, everybody!
So, John Williams led the orchestra into the Imperial March, which we just heard. And that was amazing. I am seeing the man who created the music. This is my second time seeing the concert, and I will continue seeing it. And I will continue being jealous, Jesse.
So he's watching it for us. We'll look at it that way. He's
okay.
Taking our role.
Now for the Blu-ray DVD release. Mm-hmm. I am so excited for the release in September. Looking forward to all the documentaries and all the bonus footage. Wow, a boy's dream come true. Riley, you will love the making of Star Wars. I won't go all into detail, but you will love it. I'm not looking forward to the pop culture stuff. I wish the Star Wars in concert took its place. Well, guys, keep up the good work.
Yeah, he's referencing that I have not seen the original making of Star Wars. So, yeah, that will be interesting to see.
Yep. P.S. Mark, what city do you live in? I'm from California. Have a good one. May the Force be with you all.
Alex. I live in Grants Pass, Oregon. It's kind of close to the indoor forest in California, but we got to drive a ways to get down there.
Yeah,
the rogue wilderness.
It's comparatively close. I've wanted to go down several times, just actually go to the forest. Although, from what I said, those guys who do the like the location visits for Star Wars locations say that it's pretty much all gone from the set visit. But one of these days, my goal is I'd love to go out to some of the filming locations, especially of the prequels are still there, Italy, Tunisia, someday.
Well, and thanks to the fan, the Lars Homestead will still be there.
Yeah, the Lars Homestead project.
Preserving Star Wars history since a long time ago. You know, I'll say something for you, Riley. Even though the Endor Forest, the actual set location is pretty much all not what it looked like then, when you go into the Redwood Forest at all, you just have that feeling like you just stepped onto Endor. Yeah. It's like, oh, these trees are huge! I feel like an Ewok!
I'll tell you what, there's this Ewok village-looking place. It's a set of tree houses that were inspired by the construction of the Ewoks in Costa Rica. It's a little vacation place where you can stay in these really large things.
I remember this. This is amazing.
I'll have to make a note real quick and send it in the show notes because I would love to go there just because it's almost just like living on Endor. So that would have to be something we do sometime.
Yeah, that would
just
be neat.
Just like living on Endor, baby! The big, big tree!
Anyway, Jesse, I wanted to thank you for sending that email. Star Wars in Concert is something we would love to go to, so it's nice to hear it from another fan's perspective.
Yeah. Keep it up. Bring it back. I want to see Star Wars in Concert at Celebration 6.
Yeah.
Oh, and one more thing.
Ooh,
John Williams is the man.
I second that, too.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this particular episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you for everyone for listening. We really appreciate it.
Stop the presses!
Stop the
presses! I just got a Star Wars record!
What?
It just came into the studio!
What?
A Star Wars record?
It's 1977! Oh. This is awesome!
Oh, wow. Stop the
press. Oh, wow. That does look nice.
Now, that was the most abrupt ending interruption we've ever had. Yeah.
I had to see that. Wow.
Awesome.